Mr. Walton, did you make contact with Aaron? Were you taken to another planet, to a mothership? How did they communicate with them? Can you tell me what they look like? Can you tell me how many of them there were? Were you given food?
But the teachers are alive. They're not books. They are the very living essences of nature itself.
What a strange person.
Unbelievably powerful supercomputer that's running our reality, and we don't have a clue as to how to operate it.
So when maybe you or somebody else creates an AGI system, and you get to ask her one question, what would that question be?
What's outside the simulation?
Say in your mind, say to yourself, I am more than my physical body, because I am more than physical matter. I can perceive that which is greater than the physical world.
Tonight is Rohan, and our guest Ellen Red's here with us. And tonight, if you want to call in, it's 1-800-588-0335. Remember, our website is lightingthevoid.com, and we're live right here on KTLK Digital Broadcasting, the Fringe FM. Pretty cool segment about magic, dabbling with magic, which is also cool. It's cool if you do it the right way, which I think this guy did it the right way to find out the truth about it. And then we kind of talked about how things manifest, and saw this one guy get totally surprised. And if you want to join our chat, you can go to fringe.fm. It's fringe.fm/chatroom. And no, Mike, I'm not making fun of people for attempting magic and manifesting it in their life. I'm not a heartless pig. But what I am doing is making fun of the notion that when people finally get, like when it comes into the reality, which happens to all of us, you know, that we have this realization that there is something real out there. And I think it's a really cool time in our life too, but it's fun to laugh at too when it happens. Kind of like the first time you had a psychedelic trip. All right, so let's bring on our guest here. Ellen Red is here with us, and she has a bachelor's degree from the University of Utah in mass communications, broadcast journalism, and public relations, and an associate's degree in business, as well as being a certified mediator. She has been featured on multiple radio shows, podcasts, and spiritual forums globally, and runs several successful and thriving large groups and international sites, assisting the global collective in accessing higher consciousness, quantum healing, and shadow healing. She's worked with thousands of people around the world. She also has had multiple near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences, and has been working with the non-physical collective consciousness for decades. She is available to work in private one-on-one sessions, reading Akashic records, twin flame coaching, starseed readings, quantum healing, light code activations, light language transmissions, and shadow healing through shamanic practices. She's also going to be hired for group readings, public speaking, and lectures, and she has been featured on many television and radio shows internationally and is currently working on publishing several books on these subjects. Her website is ellenred.com, which is under construction, or you can go to her YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/C/Ellen Red. Thanks for coming on the broadcast, Ellen. It's good to have you.
Oh, thank you so much.
I am interested in all of this, but I want to jump right out of the gate here and ask you, because I asked you during the break. So there's a big polarity belief on this twin flame thing. Some people think it's just a crock, and then other people are really into it. I'm curious as to why, before we get into all your story and stuff, I have to ask this because I'm fascinated with it. Why you think the twin flame thing is a real thing? Is it based on the clients you've talked to or your experiences with it?
Oh, well, I had a full-blown Kundalini activation, and I came out of body and went to source, met God, and found that I had a twin flame. So I have to speak only from my own experience, and I know for sure that they're real.
Wow.
I then met mine. This was about 10 years ago that experience happened. It was a very, very sacred spiritual experience. And then upon meeting the divine, if you will, or having that experience, I was then introduced on a soul level to my divine counterpart. And then 9 months later, I met him in the physical world, and we spent 10 years going through Hieros Gamos and the alchemical journey, and finally met in the physical world after 10 years of that, which was a long time for us. But speaking of manifestation and laughing how it finally comes, that was a 10-year manifestation of that divine counterpart.
Yeah, I've been trying to call in mine for years, honestly.
Yeah.
And sometimes you think you found them. Sometimes you don't know. But you kind of know, though, don't you? Like, I mean,
it was so, there's no way to deny it once you're shown, the group that I run on Facebook is called Twin Flame Initiates. And the reason I named it that is because you're initiated into it when it's your time. There's really no way to rush that. It's something that you get initiated into when you're ready. And if you're calling it in or you're working on calling it in, just stay working on, you know, connecting with the divine, because it is a divinely orchestrated event. And that's another reason why there's so much polarity about it, is that there's just people who haven't experienced it. It's hard for them to understand. And because it's not at all a traditional, you know, boy meets girl kind of scenario at all. It's a high voltage spiritual experience, phenomena, if you will. And so those that haven't experienced it can't know. They don't have anything to gauge it from. I wouldn't have believed it before it happened to me, you know?
Yeah. And isn't the idea of a twin flame is like where two people are like part of one soul, or is it part of a bigger soul, or it's just your soul twin? I get confused sometimes about it.
It's confusing. It is. Well, they're definitely two parts of the same soul, and they are part of a higher soul. So we have an oversoul, and then we have our high soul. So he has his high soul and I have mine, and we share an oversoul, and then we have our lower selves too, right? But our oversoul is kind of who we are as a soul, and then our high soul, both of us, we have to anchor that in when we are going through Hieros Gamos. That's really the work that we're doing as twin flames, is to anchor in our high soul onto the earth plane, because most of humanity lives in their lower self.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I feel like I live in my lower self most of the time. I'm trying to get out of it though.
Yeah. It's all about raising your frequency, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me like what your story, man, like what happened to you that got you involved with this? Cause you're deep into this stuff. So you must've had some type of big experiences. When was your first near death experience?
My first one was age 4. I had an extraordinarily interesting life growing up, and I had quite a lot of hair raising events. My dad even wrote a little kind of internal book about it for our family, where we had so many extraordinary experiences. I went missing when I was 2, and I had a search and rescue party looking for me up by a river. We lived by serial killers. I mean, we had a lot of stuff going on. So I had several near-death experiences in my life. And then I had a lot of challenging life circumstances. I was a single mom. I was putting myself through college. I was raising a kid by myself and doing all that stuff, working three jobs. I eventually became a swimsuit model, and I was on Jay Leno's show and all that other stuff. And then I got my degrees, of course, and eventually everything I did sort of failed, if you will. It was like I just had a complete, everything just failed. It was divinely orchestrated. Now I realize that. But at the time, it was devastating for me. You know, everything I would do just seemed to not work. I was living up to the world the way they told me I was supposed to do it. And it really wasn't working. And so I had sort of a breakdown, if you will. And I had eventually got my heart terribly broken. And that's what caused my full-blown awakening. I heard my heart tear in half. It went quick. And when that happened, my soul came out. And that's when I met my twin flame in the spirit world.
Wow. That's incredible, man. I feel like I've had a lot of heartbreak in my life, too, but none that intense. And I've had some pretty intense ones, you know?
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, that's pretty great. That's pretty intense.
Yeah, I think we have to break it a few times before we really crack open, because we have, you know, a rigid kind of a hard shell, our egoic self or whatever, that's encompassing that soul body. And so once you really get a good crack, it sort of changes things.
Yeah, most people just get angry. From my experience, most people just get angrier and more bitter and more cautious. If that makes any sense.
I did that a lot. And then I finally, you know, I went through a lot of different relationships, and I finally decided that I was going to give love 100% chance. And I think that's part of the soul journey too, is that you go through all these relationships and then you get bitter and then you do this and then you do that. And eventually love still calls you. Love still called me. It's our nature. So I couldn't lie to myself and not want a love union with somebody. I couldn't, you know, I tried to for years, yeah, but eventually it still called my name. And so I finally decided, okay, first, you know, I didn't want to date anybody ever again that didn't believe in a higher power,
right?
Because I learned the lesson of dating people that didn't believe in that. And when they don't believe in that, there's something kind of funky going on with the soul there. And I learned a hard lesson from that. And then, you know, later I decided, well, and I don't want to date anybody again if they don't believe in love, because what's the point of dating them if they don't believe in love? They're not going to treat you with love. So
that's where I'm at right now. Like, hey, if you're going to start telling me about all your past, you know, pain, and tell me you're abused, you know, you're abused, or your past pain, or you don't believe in love, like you're talking about, or relationships never work. If you start that chatter with me, like, I'm just going to start backing up slowly. You know?
Yeah, of course. They don't realize that they're repelling love by doing that, but they're doing it because they're stuck in their wound and they're projecting that onto you. And that's, you know, you have to heal that stuff before you can actually manifest a true lover, and you have to become a true lover too. So it's, you know, that's the work we're doing.
I think another thing too, that's really soul teaching is, I think this stuff happens also to some of the best people on the planet, man. Some of the deepest, warmest souls on the planet get the most pain. Yeah. They get the most crap and the most pain. And then if those two souls meet like that, then they just start taking out pain on each other. And it's like a never ending cycle, which I think if you go back to the, like some of the twin flame things, I've seen those stories and read a lot about them, how they can get really kind of hectic at times, you know.
Those are false stories. That's not really the reality for twin flames. As far as hectic in terms of being in a physical union where you're giving each other trouble, that's not reality in my experience. The twin flames, like, is that what you're referring
well,
to?
Not hectic in hectic in a sense where it seems like both people are having trouble actually coming together physically. Like they're always on two separate paths, or there's always obstacles in the way to keep them apart, things like that.
Now that, I got you. Okay. Yeah. And in that case, that is true. And that is, you know, that's really the work that we're doing. And again, we are twin flames, are ultimately, we are eternal mates. We were made in the heavens long before we came to earth. And, you know, we've gone through lifetime upon lifetime of searching for each other. And so the work that we're doing to come into union is to clear thousands and thousands of years of matrix distortions and imbalances in the soul, that where we've been out of alignment with our soul. So we are healing and purging, and we say that like it's easy. It's easy to just say, oh yeah, we're purging. But what does that mean? It's heavy duty stuff, overcoming addictions and, you know, healing things that are going on in your body and overcoming lifetimes of, you know, trauma, sexual trauma,
childhood trauma, whatever. Yeah,
exactly. And so you do have to clear those things in order to come into union, for the exact reason that you brought up with these women that are saying to you, or, you know, people saying to you that they don't want you to be a bad guy, or you're just like all the rest.
So yeah,
you don't want to be projecting all that past crap. So you have to heal it and make peace with it. And you have to get, you know, to where you can stay in that high vibrational state of love, because it's such a sacred and holy union. And it's protected by the high soul and the oversoul and the guardians. And so you won't come into physical connection with your twin flame until those things are healed from you.
Yeah, it's funny too, because you always start out in those situations, like, you know, and I've been on both ends of this situation too, where it's like shadow work kind of deal, where, mm-hmm. you know, you either someone's projecting their past onto you, or you're doing it to them. And then you start out trying to communicate love and understanding, and then it just gets kind of worse over time. And then until two people get to the point of actually seeing what's really going on, you know, and then trying to heal that. But that's what I've been trying to say for a long time. I think love is the answer to healing everything. And I'm pretty stoked about what you said earlier, because you can't really keep your walls up too long if you're going to actually love somebody in a divine sense, in a healing sense. You just do it.
Yeah. No,
you know,
that breaks love. It breaks love when you stick your walls up like that. And, you know, so it hurts. You've had people do it, right? They put their wall up and then you can't get through, and you're trying to love them, and it yeah. hurts you and it hurts them, and it's not the truth. And it's really energy blocks. And, but again, that's kind of why the twin flames, are, again, they are protected by this higher order of things. And so they aren't even brought into the physical reality most of the time. Some of them are, but most of the time they're not brought into the physical reality with each other until they clear this stuff internally. That's why they call it inner union, because you have to get the internal stuff right. That's the trick of manifestation. You have to get it right inside before you see it right on the outside. It's kind of like that Bewitched show with the aunt that always would make screwy manifestations. You remember that?
I forgot her name.
She was always like screwing up her witch tricks, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we're doing when we manifest things that we don't like, is because we haven't worked out all the bugs internally. And so, you know how many times I manifested a mate that was the wrong one.
Yeah, right.
A lot. So, you know, but that's part of the journey, and you have to wash all those, you know, iron all those wrinkles out first. So
yeah, I'm in a weird place with that right now. I'm kind of in limbo with that, but I can tell you in the past for sure, even in the recent past, like, it just feels like you've been completely duped sometimes, you know. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you hear people talk about narcissism a lot, and Carl Jung wrote a book on this too. Yeah, of course mm-hmm. there's narcissists and things like that, but narcissism, I don't think you can just pinpoint it to one person. Like, narcissism is a thing that a lot of people have. It just depends on to what level they have mm-hmm. it, you know?
Yeah, we're all narcissists, and that's the world we live in. It's part of our ego design, which is part of our human design. And so, yeah, depending on what level you're at with it is one thing, but that's the key too, is to try to transmute that. And none of us are going to be perfect, you know, but,
right.
But it's all on different layers, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they write songs about love that love makes you do crazy things. And there's so many songs about that. And there's no doubt about it, man. There's no doubt about it that that's true. Cause you get, at some point you sometimes you do crazy enough stuff. You're like, what am I doing? Like, why am I doing, what is going on here? And I think that happens because it's like a super high force, man. It's a high force trying to work itself out. And we got a lot of blockages, like you're saying here.
And it's all a journey, and it's all, you know, it's all teaching you. So everything you're going through with every single person that you date is all an expansion lesson. So it's all good in the end. It's just, it can seem painful at times, but at the end, it's all a blessing.
Precisely. And I think this is why the hardest lessons tend to be the most poignant and the most profound and the most long term, because like always go back to the Buddha and the Morrow story, the demon that tried to distract him the most was the one he used to invite over for tea and say, you're my best teacher. But you just can't see it when you're in it. It's only afterwards. Then you get the goods. You got to pay up first for the real stuff. With the real stuff, you can't get it on credit. You got to pay up first.
That's right. And there's no cheating. The gods don't let you cheat. So you have to learn the lesson.
You can't switch credit cards. No.
Nope.
Didn't you also have an ET experience?
I have, actually. I have had more than one. When I had my awakening, that was a big part of it as well. So not only did I meet my twin flame, but I was shown that I was from the Pleiades planetary system, and I was introduced to the Galactic Federation. I was initiated into the Melchizedek Order, and I was shown a lot of things. So, but I did have an ET experience, and since then I have them all the time because I've become, you know, able to access the collective conscious and the Galactic Federation daily. So I've had a lot of experiences since then. But that initial spiritual awakening led me to have this experience where I was, I don't know how to describe it. I was kind of taken out of body and into another realm, and I was shown so many things. I was shown many different realms. I was shown many different beings, and shown the whole humanity as well.
I want to talk about this a little bit more and go into your story a little bit deeper here, but we're at the top of the hour. We're here with Ellen Red. They're pretty interesting stuff so far, guys. Stay with us. More Lighting the Void coming up.
This is No Way Jose, a Northern California Piscean stuck in the Arizona desert. I'm a void walker, and I got the shoes to prove it. So what do I do when my soul yearns to delve deep into the realm of the unknown? I aim my satellite straight into the night sky and catch a smooth ride on the KTLKDB radio waves. I tune into Lighting the Void with Joe Root on the Fringe FM.
Joe, Lighting the Void is the best show on the planet. This is Barney, your friend from Facebook. Thank you and all the crew for all you do. Namaste, my friend.
This is Macon from the foothills of North Carolina, and I am a void walker. G'day, Void Walkers. This is Lily from down under Australia. The world may be small, but the enigma is greater. So let your curiosity take you for a journey with Joe Root.
Hey, this is V, coming in from Central Maryland. And I am a Void Walker.
This is Kevin Dougherty, a beginner Void Walker. I'm from Vancouver, BC. I know a little about a lot, and as Leonard Skinner said, I guess the rest. I learned a lot from Mr. Root and the show, and heard it from the beginning. I knew right then he was going to be a new art bell. Thanks for all your shows, and keep it up.
Hey, this is Derek from Mass, a.k.a. the Night Stalker, and I'm a Void Walker.
This is Mark from Chicago, and I walk the Void to ascertain what is consciousness.
My name is Jared Johnson, and I'm from Humboldt County, California. I do not know all the answers to the questions about reality. I do not claim to know the ultimate truth about life. I seek that which has been made hidden as a part of a family of explorers of consciousness. I'm a Void Walker. Thanks, Jaru.
This is Barbara Charlton from Metaphorical Archaeology. If you've ever had a traumatic paranormal experience, the effects of it may stay with you for years. Who do you talk to? You can't go to conventional help. What we do is we use emotional freedom techniques or tapping to actually neutralize the effects of that event. Maybe when you tell the story now, your heart races and your palms get sweaty. You don't even want to think about it because you don't know how to neutralize that. That's what EFT tapping does. It neutralizes those emotions. The circuit that was recorded on is gone. The energy flows freely and you're free of it. And that's what emotional freedom is all about. We offer this as a pro bono service, but this is something that I offer because no one, it seems, is helping people with these experiences. If you'd like to reach me, it's really easy. My cell phone is 214-995-3754. Please leave a message. I will get back to you as quickly as possible. Or you can email me, barb.eft@gmail.com. And EFT stands for Emotional Freedom Techniques. Reach out to me. It's confidential. This works. You won't believe the results.
Have you heard of heavy metals?
Yeah!
I'm not talking about the heavy metals in the junkyard. I'm talking about the heavy metals that build up in your body. Heavy metals in your body can make you feel sluggish, fatigued, and just plain off. Why not try Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com? Cleansing your body and making you feel great. Cleansing the inside of your body of intruders that sneak their way into you and set up an intruder camp. Life Change Tea helps remove unwanted intruder camps. Brew it, steep it, and drink in the results. Tastes great so you can create a new health habit. Our tea loves to help people. It just needs the chance. So order yours today by logging on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Our Life Change Super Strength Tea is waiting. This could be a beautiful relationship. Take charge of your health.
Charge!
Order at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com.
The Fringe FM isn't just a radio station. We also provide services for all your audio production needs. If you're interested in live radio or pre-recorded podcasts, we're here to help. We even do audio enhancements and voiceovers if needed. If you want to do a podcast or live radio show and even want the option to syndicate on terrestrial radio, from simple audio file enhancement to live production and call screening, we have you covered. We have worked with some of the best professionals in the business in order to provide coaching instruction for content creation, show structure, and more. Contact The Fringe Digital Media for more at info@thefringe.fm. That's info@thefringe.fm. Or call 501-777-5631 for a consultation.
From the Kingdom of Arkansas, you are listening to Joe Root and Lighting the Void here on The Fringe FM.
To Lighting the Void, Ellen Redd, our guest tonight. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, getthetea.com, Metaphorical Archaeology, AncientLifeOil.com, and DogmanCams.com. Go check them out. Thank God for the network sponsors, and thank God for you guys. All right, so we were just getting into Ellen's story about your experience. I want to hear of this. You know, you kind of briefly touched your ET experience, but we got plenty of time now.
Okay, where do you want me to start?
Well, just how did it happen to begin with? Was it the near-death experience?
No, actually, I'll give you a little backlog here. First of all, the first time I ever had even opened my mind to any such thing as ETs, because I was very closed-minded early on about it. I thought that people were crazy and all that stuff, you know. And then my grandma died. And well, actually, my grandpa died. And then one night, my grandma came to me and asked me to help her find her husband. And so I went and, you know, I went and helped her find him underground in her basement. And when I woke up, I realized I had been dreaming this, that she came to me to find her husband in the dream, and that I was actually helping her in the astral realm to travel back home to him. So I woke up knowing that she had just died. And in the dream, when I helped her find her husband in the basement, and then I led him to their car and they took off in the clouds, they turned around and looked at me, and they had like ET eyes. And I thought, what? That was a weird, yeah, that was so weird, right? Like, but I know my dreams. My dreams have always led me spiritually. So I always understand how to interpret them. And I knew that she was sending me a message and showing me something. And it caused me to open my mind a little bit about ETs. So I thought, well, that's weird. She must have been trying to send me some message. I don't know. So then I started to keep more of an open mind about it, but I didn't think much about it. You know, I was busy with my life and raising my kid and being a single mom and all, you know, I didn't think too much about it, but it did cause me to kind of tuck that little message back in my back pocket. And then years later, when I had my spiritual awakening, and again, I came out of my body. It's hard to describe because it wasn't just one event that this happened. It was like a period of maybe about 9 months to a year, maybe even longer, where I was getting high voltage synchronicities. It's like time was speeding up. I was started to get all the number synchronicities and all these things were happening and tons of different spiritual phenomena. Like I froze time one day. I was driving down the street and time just literally froze like in the Matrix movie. And I looked all around me. I noticed all these different people and souls. I could see the flowers reaching up to the sky in praise. I could see the souls driving down the street in cars, and I could see where energy was blocked in them, where, you know, they had a wound on their elbow because the brother threw them down the stairs. I was perceiving all of it. And you know, just events like that for a period of about a year that led into this full-blown crown chakra opening and kundalini activation and light body activation. And when that happened, I was really also getting all kinds of other kind of out-of-body experiences too, where I was starting to be able to. One day I was meditating and I had my cosmic body come out into the astral. And then I started to have my third eye open and I was able to open it daily. So I was having a lot of events leading up to that final pow, you know, awakening kind of a thing. But when that happened, sometime during that time, I ended up kind of being brought again out of my body and into the astral world. And that's where I was shown the Pleiades star system. And I was being shown, you know, many beings there and that kind of a thing. So I don't know what you're looking for here, but
I'm just looking for whatever your experience is, you know.
That's crazy. I'm so glad you shared that, because I've had that time freeze thing. I think I might have mentioned it on the show. I've definitely told Joe before.
Was it like Twilight Zone time where everybody just kind of freezes? That's freaky.
everything freezes. It's like you're literally in the now moment, and I'm just looking around and everything's frozen in place, and I'm observing every single thing and person that's around me in their now moment state. It's like it's accessing the nanosecond, basically.
Were you frozen? Did you? Because I had it momentarily, and it was really freaky because I saw this. This will make you laugh. There was a lot of side streets, and it was at night time, but I was outside. It had happened a week before, but it was indoors and I weren't sure because I had no reference point. But outside, a week later, I seen this black cat stop on a corner and I carried on. And I seen it again on the next
glitch
corner.
In the Matrix.
Yeah, glitch in the Matrix. And then it ran across the street and went to climb up. And I've studied cats because I was learning tiger style Silat at the time. And I studied our cats hunt and move, and it stopped in a way that cats don't stop, like slightly anti-gravity defying, and it just froze. But I froze at the same time, so I'm wondering if you like were frozen to begin with, or
I didn't notice in this occasion that I was frozen. I've had other experiences also that were similar where I noticed myself frozen, but in this case, I really didn't notice it too much. It was more like I just stopped and observed everything, and everything was in its frozen place, and it was just like, wow. And I was taking it all in. I was taking everything in. I was able to just absorb everything in my environment, and it was amazing. And that really taught me about the power of now, because, you know, how if we just slow down a minute and observe the world we're in, when we're in that observation mode, we pick up so much. But the world has us so busy all the time that we miss everything, you know.
I think I've had that happen to me once, but I think it was because I ate half of a pot cookie. I think that's what I had. Like,
well, that would definitely help you get there.
The edibles are a whole new. I've discovered they're a whole new world, right? They just sneak up on you about 30 minutes later, and you're like, time stops. I think I'm dying. I don't know.
What if you do martial arts, Joe, and you had one of them time, you know, a time perception slows down moment things.
I did Brazilian, I did jujitsu and mixed martial arts and stuff. I didn't do any,
you get it, don't you? When you're sparring, don't you?
When you're in the moment and you're sparring and someone's about to put you in a submission hold or they have you in one and you have to escape it. Yeah. Everything does slow down. For sure.
Yeah. That's one of the powers of martial arts, is to help you learn how to get zoomed in like that. And that's really what meditation does also, is try to help you tune in to the moment.
So you're talking about earlier that you have these experiences all the time now, right? Like
as far as channeling galactic beings, yes, I channel them all the time, and I do readings for people now, and sometimes they'll come through in readings if it's a guardian or somebody that's in that person's world for some reason, they'll come through in readings as well. But that's because I've had a lot of years now of really honing in on those gifts after my awakening. So it's taken a lot of years to clear out energies, and it's kind of like, and I'm sure you've heard other people talk about this, but as we go through our ascension journey and our reintegration with our soul and everything, we go through layer upon layer of it. So especially with twin flames, once you get through that journey, it really heightens your gifts. It really catapults you into those kind of gifts because you've done so much work to get to that union, and that union is the other part of your soul. So once that's there, it kind of opens up this third energy, and then your metaphysical gifts are like, wow, they're there. So that's sort of helped me over the years. Like once that happened, it really started to where I just like tune into everything all day, every day. I don't use alarm clocks. I follow the spirit in everything that I do.
That's cool. That's really cool, man. It almost sounds like, you know, you get those binaural beats where they're slightly out of phase, and so it creates a phantom imaginary signal. It sounds like you're combining two forces to make like a third extra thing.
Eventually, awesome. Robert Monroe's thing actually does that, where he talks you through it, how he starts one in one ear and then one on another. Like a hemi sync is where you put headphones on and it's two it's not really binaural beats, but it's two tones, one in each ear, one slightly off than the other one. And your brain will start hearing it. At first, it'll sound like two tones, and then all of a sudden, it'll start going woo, 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 and your brain will start to sync the two frequencies, and then it becomes one tone. And that's pretty intense, too, because they've kind of figured out that we have a lot of these metaphysical experiences when the two hemispheres of our brain sync together.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's also connected to the twin flames as well. So when your right and left brain are out of balance, you can't connect telepathically with your twin flame either. Like if I'm off kilter, I can't hear him telepathically. Or if he is, then, you know, he can't get through. So you kind of have to get that part of yourself balanced, both of you, in order to have that other connection together. But I was also going to say that a lot of the work that we're doing in Ascension is, first you got to do your shadow healing, and you got to heal all your childhood trauma and sexual trauma and all these things. And then you start to get into layers of past life memories. And, there's a lot to be said about some of the issues you're having in your physical world today that you have remnants of in your past lives. And then you start to tap into, or at least I have at this point, to not only past lives, but to past incarnations in other planetary systems.
Can you pick up on other people's gifts, like mine or Rohan's? Like, can you pick up on our frequency, or does somebody have to be like physically around you?
Oh, no, I do a lot of my sessions with people all around the world over the phone, so I can pick it up in readings wherever you are. It's an energy thing, so that's totally intuitive.
Yeah. Well, what's Rohan's gift? Do you know? I bet he's got a gift, right? Don't we all have gifts?
Everybody has gifts. Everybody has all of the same gifts. It's just that everybody hasn't honed in on them yet.
Oh, really?
You use that word twice. You use that word honed twice. And I'm glad you said it again, because I really like that you've used that word, because that's what it is, isn't it? Honing skills is thing that a craft person says. That's what shamans do. That's why it takes so long.
Yeah. Right. Yep, it's peeling away and clearing out all the clutter and then tuning into it and zooming into it. It's always there. It's just peeling away the things that are blocking you from it.
There's another one, clearing the clutter. That's what we do in therapy, isn't it? Clearing the clutter.
Yeah. The divine's there. It's just you that's not aligned. It's you know what I mean? It's not missing. It's you that's not there.
Yeah, I like to say there's no such thing as a paradox. That's just you not understanding it. The universe has got no problem with it. Yeah.
Well, what happens when we clear the clutter? I mean, once we get all this and we just become these beings of love or something, I mean, a little bit of clutter is cool. I mean, I don't want people to get boring now. Like, what?
I love that you said that, because the truth is there's so much clutter from so many lifetimes. We're going to be clearing the clutter for a long time. We're clearing out the clutter for a good 1,000 years right now. This was all biblical, that we're going through this great awakening, but we have 1,000 years. And I've even been shown this in my awakening, that even after I go to the other side, because this is my last lifetime here, that I'll still be spending 1,000 years assisting others from the other side. And then even after beyond that, we go to New Earth. We're going to be creating from a far more, powerful standpoint in a higher dimension, those of us that are ascending to New Earth. So... And not everybody's going to, but those that are going to be creating from our pure essence. And if I understand, I do believe that we are going to be able to have our own planets in the future. That's also biblical as well. It's a prophecy.
That's Mormon, right? Or Urantia, one of the two?
Mormons believe that, yes. But I don't believe that they're the only ones that believe it.
Yeah, I think that's also in like the Book of Urantia. But that makes sense, because everything in nature is in a state of becoming or transformation. So obviously, wouldn't you think that we are too? I would think that we are too.
And we're seeds of creator God. So we, we have this other. But the new earth itself that we are building and creating now is more in the lines of of Avatar, the movie Avatar, where it's a very utopian existence, which is what we were originally designed to live like. And then we had the Archons or the Anunnakis that came and manipulated humanity, and it's caused these cycles of reincarnation and things that really wasn't our original design. We were highly evolved souls when we got to Earth. We were chosen for it, and we were chosen for it to live in a utopian existence. We didn't come here to go through a hell experience, if you will, but we did come to cut off from light and see if we could find our way back, and then we got manipulated, and it caused us to get reincarnated over and over and over. It's like if you don't go through the ascension process and, you know, do it in your conscious state, in your physical form, then when you pass over, you get in that fourth dimension, you get spit back out again. Mm. So it's really causing a lot of problems.
That kind of stinks, because I was hoping to ask for a break, right? Like, can I just have an ascension break and just have one like life where I can, you know, take it easy, you know, find the love of my life, live in Fiji or something. And to just not really have to just have a cool life for once, you know, just a break. Then we'll get back to work.
You got to talk to the gods on that one. I know they don't let us off the hook if we don't learn our soul lessons. So, you know, I guess the sooner that you get it clear with your soul, then the sooner that you get that break. You get the break when you get the lesson, because then you get the blessing, and everything's a blessing in the end.
Yeah, I remember reading in Journey of Souls, you know, because he was talking to all these clients in their past lives and stuff, and it was fun. It was cool to me, because they do actually take breaks and stuff like that when they reach their goals or whatever. Once they've accomplished some big feat or a past life cycle that just keeps happening over and over, and they actually break it, then they get the reward themselves.
You get a little reward. You get a pat on the head. You get a nice. Yep, exactly. That is very true. And then after you get a break, they say, okay, next lesson.
Right. Yeah, for sure. So what do you think the biggest thing that the average, you know, like one of our, just say someone's listening and, you know, they're just now trying to get into the spiritual stuff, and they're really struggling in their life. They're really struggling with their life purpose. They're really struggling in love and relationships. They're struggling in everything in life. You know, I hear, well, most people don't struggle in everything in life, but I do hear a lot of struggles from people. What would you tell them the first thing that they should do?
Well, obviously the first thing they need to do is learn how to love their own soul. And everybody says that, and it sounds so cliched because nobody knows what it really means, but you know, it really means to, if you want to pretend that you love somebody else, or you are trying to love somebody else, and you're being patient with them, and you're going to be patient with them, right? You're not going to yell at them. You're not going to treat them bad. Well, you have to learn how to take all those behaviors of love that you want to give everybody else and turn it inward to yourself. If you don't learn how to do that for yourself, you're not going to make it through this lesson, because that's where it's all at. It's love is incomplete if you're not included in it.
Well, that's the thing. How many people do you really think truly love themselves though? I don't think it's that many, not in my experience.
Well, it's definitely not that many, but also self-love is a lesson that's eternal as well. So the sooner you start it, the better for you. But it's not like you're just going to go, okay, I love myself, I got it all figured out, and I'm good. No, it's that learning that self-love comes layer upon layer upon layer upon layer. And that's really part of ascension as well. So as you start to learn how to love yourself and learn how to start doing your shadow healing and learn how to nurture your inner being and care for your inner child and all of those other things, then, you know, you're going to get shown, you'll be led through those layers, but it's a work that's not going to happen overnight. And that's why it's so important to start there. If you don't start there, you're stumped. You're going to stay stumped.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you on that too. I did have a guest come on one night, and I was, you know, some people come out. It's funny because they speak out against relationships, right? They're like, not really out against, but they're like, well, you know, I'm happy. I'm totally happy alone. I'm totally happy. I love myself and everything. And I said, yeah, that's what all people that are alone say, you know. And she
said that, and yeah. I believed it at some point, or I tried to make myself believe it. But we all know that that's not the truest aspect of yourself.
Right.
You know you want love. It's your divine inheritance, really, is to be in love with somebody, and that you know how it feels when you've been in love before, how it lights everything
yeah, it's
up
awesome.
In your life.
Yeah, and she laughed and she said, yeah, that's true. I guess I would be kind of lying to myself, you know, if I didn't say
right.
that. But you know, like, it's cool to learn to love, to be yourself and be, I think, learn to love yourself, learn to love being alone and all that stuff. I mean, but after a while, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how much you enjoy your alone time. You start to get where, like, this is kind of dull, man. Like, you need that connection. I mean, if you really wanted to be alone, and I'm not saying some people aren't, because they definitely are, but if you really wanted to be, and that's what your soul truly desired, don't you think you would have incarnated yourself into a planet all by yourself? You know?
Exactly. Boom. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You can only love yourself so much, and then at some point, love itself can't exist if there's only one person. And so, but that's why the twin flame thing is so tricky, is that you have to learn self-love for the twin flame, because they are you. And if you're not loving you, you're not loving them, and therefore you can't manifest them in your world, because they're the resonance of love isn't there. So, you know, it's a tricky thing where you have to both love yourself, and then as you get initiated and you get to connect, it's the connection when you're initiated that really helped you overcome that hurdle, where you're self-loving and loving them at the same time in your soul, because you have that telepathic connection. Like for me and my twin, I feel him crawling around in my body. He's with me everywhere. I can feel him thump me in my dreams. If in my dream state I start dreaming about another ex-boyfriend, boom, I get a thump and it wakes me up, and it's him saying, hey, whoa, we're over here, you know, because we're trying to heal in the astral too. It's deep stuff. It's deep stuff that we go through in this journey of integrating. But I feel him, and I telepathically communicate with him every single day. So even when I'm alone, I'm not alone. But that's when you get into that Hieros Gamos stuff, that you kind of overcome that hurdle. In the meantime, you have to self-love, because if you don't self-love, you really can't love the other people, the other mate or the person that you're with. And so it's a journey where you need to learn to love them, and you need to learn to love yourself. And then every relationship anybody's ever in is really doing that. Whether you realize it or not, your high soul is leading you in relationships and leading you out of them when it's time for certain lessons that you need.
Interesting. Yes. Interesting. In fact, TLC asked a question earlier saying, don't you get burnt when loving your twin flame? And I thought of the movie Hancock, you know.
Oh yeah, they lose power as they come closer together, though. That's funny. And the further they get away, the more they're empowered. But the thing, the thing too is, I feel like I can kind of speak to this, but I don't want to. Let me ask you this question: when it comes to manifestation, like, how fast do things manifest when you and your twin flame decide you want to manifest something?
Instantly. It's instantly. I've gotten better and better and better at it over the years, to where I can think, oh, I need a new wallet or something, and boom, the next day I have it. Or I'll think something, and this is a true story that happened to me this year. I've had an old 4Runner, Toyota 4Runner, and I love the car. It's got a lot of miles on it, but it's been just the best car ever, and I don't need to get rid of it because it runs well. Why would I get rid of it? So I'm kind of like, I would love a new car too, but I don't really need it. So I went
200 something thousand miles on it.
Yeah, it's got 200,000 miles on it. And I'm sure it could probably get another 150,000 miles or more on it. So I'm just like, why? I don't need a new car. It's such a great vehicle. And even if I buy a new one, I'm still going to keep this one because I love it. And so I was visiting my brother and sister in Utah, and I live in Las Vegas, and I went to visit them. And we were on my brother's porch looking down on my car, and I was telling them the same thing. I love the car, but I do want to get a new paint job because, you know, it's kind of started to get some sunspots on it. And that was the only thing I hated about it. And so I said that. And that night, I was going to be driving back to Vegas, and a storm came through. So I said, I'll call my friend and stay at her house. So I called her and spent the night at her house. And it was the storm you might have heard of, where there was 99 mile an hour winds, and it was picking big trees up by the roots and throwing them across the street and crashing into people's roofs and all this stuff. Well, I woke up the next day and went out to my car, and it was buried underneath trees. It smashed the whole top in, smashed the window in, everything. I posted a couple pictures on Facebook, and some guy goes, "Oh, that's some bad luck." And I thought, no, it's not. This isn't bad luck at all. I just manifested a new paint job, and lo and behold, I got a new paint job out of it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It happened within a day. So, you know, but that's how, you know, that's how it goes. The more you clear all that clutter in your soul, then the more the manifestation is instant. And that's our true design, is to instantly manifest.
There you go, man.
I can verify that as well. Yeah, good. Yeah, great. That's up to me too.
We got
to
take our break here, but I do want to talk a little bit more about that. And yeah, that's kind of the epitome of what we talked about for the past 2 weeks. So there's another synchronicity right here on Lighting the Void. We'll open the phone lines up too when we come back. 1-800-588-0335. Stay with us.
Talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on 24/7 with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The truth is out there, and so are we. KTLK, Digital Broadcasting, The Fringe FM.
Want to support Lighting the Void? Just go to lightingthevoid.com, sign up on our membership page, and pick your package where you can get exclusive content, readings, and exclusive behind-the-scenes content. Also, check out the LTV shop where you can get your very own altar box, t-shirt, shack, hoodie with sigil, Roswell-style t-shirt, racerback tees, socks, long-sleeve shirts, stickers, and beanies. Keep Lighting the Void airing 5 nights a week by going to lightingthevoid.com and support today.
Is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
Lighting the Void and the Esoteric Scholar present the Altar Box, crafted and designed for magicians by magicians. Now you can take your practice with you. This beautifully handcrafted mobile altar opens and works as an altar for any of your spiritual, religious, or ritual practices. Made to travel and work in small spaces, the Altar Box comes with hidden compartments for your practice tools and accessories. The Altar Box also comes with a dark scrying mirror for scrying and reverses and fits perfectly also as a chalkboard for any sigil, symbol, or whatever you see fit to sketch. The Altar Box is handcrafted to carry as a small suitcase, so you may take your practice with you, and the hinges are made with solid material and hinged with leather and rivets for extra strength. The mirror piece and floor plate fit perfectly when closed, so no movement will happen. Use it in small places as well. You can practice meditation, magic, planetary magic, sigil magic, scrying, ritual. Never be without your practice tools again, no matter the setting or where you go. And this season, give the gift of magic for yourself or your loved one by grabbing your Altar Box. Was $249.99, now $199.99. The sale ends January 1st, 2021. Just go to lightingthevoid.com/alterbox and get yours while the sale lasts.
To Lighting the Void, 1-800-588-0335 is the call-in number if you want to speak to our guest tonight, Ellen Red. That's with two L's and Ellen and two D's and Red. And you can go to ellenred.com for the website, which is currently under construction, and youtube.com/C/ElenRed to check out our YouTube channel. Before the break, we were talking about manifestations and stuff, and that... To me, like, that is how you know, because I talk a lot about the magic and the occult, and I've learned a lot of stuff about it over the years, and specifically, it's pretty much the same walk, balancing out your elemental nature, balancing out your shadow, and then learning how to balance out the sexual forces inside you with your male and female energy, and then with somebody else, and then, like, coming to this ultimate place of love, which brings this massive healing on the planet, and also, you know, you step inside your Merkaba. But I think it's cool that you said, Ellen, that one way you can recognize that if this stuff is working or if you're on the right path is how fast things are manifesting for you too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That and not only how fast they're manifesting, but because you can manifest negative things right away as well. So it keeps you on your toes. The more you get into that now moment, the more that you manifest immediately, good or bad. So it's a real master's program.
It is the most sacred forces in the universe. What we call here on this planet, male and female, it could be something totally different in the higher realms, but you can see it in the universe, like we're just living inside this one massive union and separation. And I hate to say it this way and be so blunt about it, but the universe is like living in one big, massive love orgasm. That's what it is, pretty much.
It totally is. And that's why I laugh about people that are, you know, weirded out by sex or whatever. It is totally an orgasmic thing from beginning to end. And it absolutely has to do with the divine union of the twin flame, which is your soul, right? So, but that soul is made of love. It's made of the male and the female. It's, and in the higher dimensions, it's all about love. And I mean, I think a lot of people who've had spiritual awakenings have an experience where you're like traveling through the dimensions and everybody's having sex. Have you ever had anybody tell you that?
Yeah, actually, Robert Monroe talks about that quite a bit in his books. When he started going out of body, then he would reach certain levels, and then he got to this level where the sexual energy was insane. You couldn't like avoid it, right? He also saw that like the unbalanced versions of it too, and what what happened there. But he had to trick himself to get through it, right? Like these female, I guess, energetic people, whoever they were bumping into him in the astral realm, and he's like, "Yeah, I'll be." He had to tell them and himself, "Yeah, I'll get back to you," just so he could keep moving, you know.
Yeah, well, it's kind of because everybody got here through what? Sex. You couldn't have got born without sex. Everything was created from sex. Sex is the most powerful energy in the cosmos, and it's what creates everything. But the problem is that it's being very misused.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's causing hell on earth. And
God, like, you're the only other person I've ever talked to in 700 shows that said that besides me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of surprising considering how many shows you've done.
Well, because I think people take it as like you're being religious, but it's not that at all.
Yeah.
That place where that is the ultimate place of healing and stuff, but that's also the place where people are most vulnerable, where the most damage happens. It's not a place to mess around with, you know?
Correct.
And it's like it's like it causes the worst ripple effects on this planet. In every single
it's
way.
Literally the source of all of our suffering is that we're misusing that. And because of that, it's causing all suffering, wars and everything else. It's all created from that. So, and it's not a religious thing at all. But the truth is that there are some truths in all religious teachings, and there are, you know, and at the end of the day, it's a spiritual thing, but that doesn't mean that there aren't certain things that are true. It's just maybe people are misinterpreting them or they're not understanding them. I'm speaking literally from what I was shown from the divine when I was awakened. So I know what I was shown. But the sad part is that, you know, people do take it the wrong way and think that you're being religious or judgmental or whatever else. And it's really not about that. It's just you get free will. But what good is your free will if it's not lined up with divine will?
Yeah, exactly.
What good is it? Of course you have free will, but what good is that going to do you if you're not lining up with divine will? You're only causing your own suffering. And that's really...
I think a less loaded way to, I like to say, is it sometimes when I get to this sort of career, when you get problems, is I sometimes say, you're already on this upward escalator, aren't you? Life's already going to try and get more complex. It's already going to grow. A sack of potatoes in a cellar always reaches for the light. So it's better off to go up the escalator that's traveling up rather than run against it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Just stand there. It's like you said, if you stand still, you're going up anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, though, look at, when you talk about war, what is the main reason for power? You have to look at, like, this is why I always say we should keep asking why, right? When you ask a question like, well, why do you want money and power? Well, they'll say, well, because I want to be financially free. Well, you say, why do you want to be financially free? Well, because I want to be able to do what I want. What do you want to do? I mean, be real honest with yourself. And if you break it all the way down, a man will go his whole life just trying to take over the world because he wants that divine union. Instead of just going for the divine union, he takes this long road of power and all this other stuff. So he doesn't have to be a victim to it, or he's too afraid of having his heart broken, or he can just have all the, whatever he wants. Right. Because he knows it attracts that energy, and that causes a whole bunch of unhealthy ripples in itself. And then it gets bigger, and it's like war, and it's crazy. Yeah, it's insane.
It's not that monopoly board, isn't it?
Yeah.
And women are. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying it's like the monopoly board, isn't it? We kind of figure out that, no, you're supposed to forget the $200, forget, go straight past go straight to Park Place, innit? You go to that passion that you had when you were 16, 17. You go straight to Park Road, don't you? You just forget the Monopoly board. And then it took us this long to sort of figure it out. No.
But the truth is that even that this long road that we've taken, we have to take it because everyone, and I know you said you didn't like paradoxes, but in a way there are paradoxes. And so we have to take it so that we activate certain lessons within ourselves. Those relationships that failed, each one of them's teaching you something or reminding you of something that you need to activate in your conscious awareness. Okay. You can't walk around unconsciously and think that you're going to be able to love. You can't love when you're unconscious.
Right. Yeah. I don't think we understand as humans too what, I mean, I think we understand the idea of love, and we felt things that are, you might have felt it actually with your twin flame, but I think there's so many people that are, I would say even including myself, that are trying to understand it to begin with, you know.
Well, that's why those lessons are there, because each one of them, again, is teaching you the codes of love. That's a book I'm working on is the rules of love. But it's, and I know people don't like the word rules, but, you know, there are codes, ordinances, and spiritual laws surrounding love that have to be lived. If you don't harness those and anchor them into your being every day and live by them valiantly, you'll break love. And what good is love if you're just going to break it? It's too sacred. And that's why everybody's suffering. You got to learn. Does it hurt? It hurts. You know? Well, stop doing that thing that you're doing that's causing that horrible pain to happen. You know? So you got to learn the lesson.
It's hard to let go of things you love, too. I think we get these ideas that we're tied to, and I think that cause damage to us as well. Well, they're my family. So I have to let them walk all over me, and I love them. So I have to stay here and take it because I was born under them, right? Or this is my partner, and no matter how long unhappy I am or whatever, longevity is what matters, and loyalty. And then I don't, no matter how much I love them, I still just keep, it doesn't connect, right? Like eventually we have to follow our path too, you know, even though we have all these societal ideas, you know.
Yeah, totally. And those societal ideals are oftentimes very wrong. And so, yeah, you do need to follow your path always. And the path, you can't really fail because you're always on your path, but it's just a matter of how long you're going to drag out certain lessons. Those, you know, doing things under your family's rule because you don't want to upset them in some ways is going to cost you your spirit. And if it costs you your spirit, it's also costing you your divine union.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. So it really means that you have to trust your own intuition and really learn that self-love thing above all else, because that's the only way to save your soul, honestly. You know, it doesn't mean you don't love your family. It just means that if they're behaving in ways that are against the true spiritual laws, you have to walk away from it and trust that they'll meet you where you're going. And you're in a lot more powerful position to help them when you yourself get there. Like, I had to go through it on my own. I lived in my car. I went through so many years of this by myself, not talking to anybody in my family, not having anybody around, but literally just following the spirit year after year after year until I got through these lessons and was able to anchor it into now where my family's come back around. And now they're asking me questions. And my dad's 80 years old, and he's asking me about twin flames.
Oh, wow. That's great. But to ask you a personal question, though, while you were going through that, how many nights did you spend alone crying yourself to sleep?
Well, I really didn't most of it because I was shown that my twin flame was with me. So I always had him on a soul level.
Well, before that.
And it carried me through. It led me through all the lessons of ascension that I needed to go through. I knew that he was with me, and I could telepathically communicate with him, so I wasn't alone.
That's my point. But that's my whole point. Like, nobody on this planet is even focused on a twin flame, right? There's a lot of people that are living alone that have no idea of what a twin flame is.
you shouldn't be focused on a twin flame until you're initiated. And until then, you should be focused on God. You should be focused on your connection to the divine, the higher power, whatever you want to call it. But if when you say twin flame,
initiated, though, what do you mean? Until you're, do you have to be initiated by another human, or what does that mean?
It's a spiritual initiation, kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. It's an initiation that happens, and when it happens, you know, and there's no way to not know. But until that happens, you should be only focused on trying to connect your connection with the divine, because that's how you're going to get initiated.
Well, I'm asking that question because I know a lot of people that they're not really, I've talked to a lot of people, they're not really, I guess you could say initiated then, because they are alone. You know, of course we call them void walkers in a sense, right? But they are alone trying to figure their, find their way through too. And I mean, but they have that longing for connection, you know?
As I was. I was alone before I got initiated with my twin flame. So, you know, I'm in my 40s now, and I've only been on the twin flame journey for 10 years. So prior to that, I was also alone and trying to find my way through life and dating different people and getting bitter and bent and this and that and the other. And my initiation happened because I first chose to connect with the divine and to surrender to the divine. And if you're not doing that, you're not going to have the initiation, really, because the initiation is a gift from the divine. It's one of those pats on the head when you do the right thing. Make sense?
Well, how do people get initiated? They just ask for it? Or do they have to be a certain degree of human, or what?
Well, you do definitely have to pray. Ask and ye shall receive, right?
Right.
So if you're not asking and truly, truly asking, you have to have the right heart. This is an old Egyptian teaching that they did in the mystery schools, that your heart has to be as light as a feather. And if it's not, then you're not going to get what you're asking for either. You got to get the heart right.
That one's key. That's key, that one. I just want to underline that for you. That is key, I find, in my experience as well. So just want to back you up.
Totally. It is key, but you know, also ask and receive, and ask with the right heart and the right intentions. If your intentions aren't right, then that's also, you know, not going to happen. If you're saying, I want the perfect mate with the big mansion and that, you know, then you're probably, your intentions are a little wonky. So, and it's not because you don't deserve a perfect mate with a big mansion. It's just that your intentions have to be in the right place in order for you to, you know, be given grace, if you will.
Yeah, I've been down that road to where somebody's like, I want everything to be beautiful, and I want, you know, to be able to travel, and I want to do all this stuff, which costs a lot of money. And then they start thinking in their head, that means I need to find somebody that has a lot of money. And it's like, well, not necessarily. There's all kinds of different ways to have the kind of life you want. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with money, you know, even though money's a part of it.
The spirit could give a rip less about how uncomfortable somebody is in their life, because the spirit's not concerned about that. It's more about you learning the soul lesson, because the soul is eternal, and the soul is always, like, once you're on the other side in the non-physical, you don't feel that discomfort or that pain or anything else. So the spirit knows that it's not really real. It's a human experience that you're having. And so the spirit's not going to come and rescue you from your suffering. You have to learn the lesson. That's what rescues you. That's where your salvation is. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to just be unconscious about it and skip over things because it's inconvenient for you, then you're going to keep suffering, and that's useless. There's no need to suffer. The spirit only cares for your highest happiness, and knows where your mate is, and knows where your job is, and your mansion, and your everything else that's divinely meant for you, and is always trying to lead you to it. It's just you're not listening, you know? So,
and I find in my experience, if you do get a genuine thing where it's kind of too much for you to handle, and it's kind of feels, you know what I mean, you get help. It's somewhere or another. It comes, you get it. You never get too much on your plate than what you can handle. You know?
Right. And of course, you might get to that point where you're tapping out. I am. I'm at that point right now with one of my physical experiences. It's like, okay, tapping out. You gave me too much now.
That's what I think initiation is sometimes. When you get to that place where you can't take it anymore, and you go outside, at least in my case, and you pray to the stars to, like, help me. You know, if you're listening, I need some kind of help with this, right? Because I can't do it on my own. It's too much, right? And if you really mean it, it's just like that Bible verse when Jesus was talking about the man who asked for forgiveness. There was one that beat on his chest and another one that just did it because, you know, he needed to do it or was relating to somebody else. But another one that went to the top of a hill and was really on his last leg, pouring his heart out, beating on his chest. Mm-hmm. What's the genuine question here is, I think when it comes to initiation is when you get to that point where you realize power doesn't come from you, it comes through you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that is also a key point there that it's again, comes back to divine will versus my will. And what good is my will if it's not divine will? If my maker or the divine has a certain mate for me that's been divinely orchestrated, what good is it if I'm going somewhere else looking for a different mate? You know what I mean? I'm literally causing my own self suffering and everybody else that I touch, including that other mate that's not the divinely orchestrated mate, if you will. So, and of course, we're saying this and it sounds easy, but it isn't easy. And I understand that, like, if, you know, people are going to go through layers of relationships and think that they got it figured out, and then that relationship might fall apart and you thought for sure it was your one. I deal with a lot of people in the twin flame community that are sure that the one they're with is their twin flame. And I already know it's not oftentimes, but, you know, they have to go through that journey of those emotions and those lessons and those feelings and those kind of things that they're going through. And they'll come sometimes sure that it's the one, and then the other, their mate leaves them, doesn't want to be with them anymore, and their heart's being broken. And it's like, well, that's, you know, unfortunately, that's part of the journey of the twin flame union, is to go through heartbreak. It's part of the journey of enlightenment, is to have your heart broken time and time again until you awaken.
That's why you got to take the Rocky approach to love, I say, because if you don't go all in and you don't put your whole heart in there, you're not really loving to begin with. You're just kind of halfway loving, and that always causes pain. But you have to know, like, yeah, well, I could get my heart smashed, but okay, let's do it, right? It's kind of like when people take acid or something. They know they're in for a 12-hour ride. It might not be the greatest thing, you know?
So. That's hilarious. But no, you're absolutely right. And I think that we started off this session today or whatever with that in my story, where I had to make a choice that I was going all in my relationship. And that's when I got my heart broken. I went all in and he still broke my heart. And I was getting downloads from the spirit about twin flames and all this stuff. And I thought for sure that guy was the one, and he still wasn't the one. So, you know, you have to be also willing to not only go all in, but to understand that if it's not divine will, even if you thought it was the one, even if you're getting synchronicities and all that stuff, you still have to trust divine will, because it's going to move you through some lessons.
It'll take you there regardless, right? So
it will get you there eventually, but you just have to keep trusting the journey of it. And when somebody falls out of your life, you have to go with that flow. You can't fight against it, because you can't force another person to love you. You have to trust that there's a reason why these things are happening, and there is. There's a way higher power involved in what's going on than most people can see. So, you know, you got to be easy about it. Flow like water. Just let it go and trust.
Well, I really enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for coming on. We only have a couple of minutes, so if you don't mind, like, and tell everybody how they can follow you, if you got any shows or anything coming up next, or what you plan on here in the near future, so people can find you on the web.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have several pages and groups on Facebook, so you can find me from, I have a page called Psychic Ellen Red. I have my main profile, Ellen Red. I have a large group and a page called Twin Flame Initiates. I have a large group called Akashic Recall. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. If you just type in Ellen Red on YouTube, you'll find me. And then, of course, ellenred.com. And I think that's enough.
Fantastic. Thanks for coming on. It was really a real pleasure having you on the show.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. It was a great conversation.
And Rohan, thanks for co-hosting, brother. Love it.
Anytime, man. Anytime. It's a pleasure always. Thank you.
We got to get out of here. And we're already going over the hour again. Ryan Gable's coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow night. Same time, same channel. You guys have a good night. Also, bye. Make sure if you have a good night after tonight. I hope you have a real good night, by the way. And sweet dreams.